Have you ever felt trapped in relationship purgatory? That painful state where you're not happy enough to stay, but not miserable enough to leave? This emotional limbo is what Mira Kirschenbaum addresses in her groundbreaking work. The traditional pros and cons approach to relationship decisions often keeps us stuck in endless loops of indecision. We pile up good qualities, hopes, and fears on one side, and relationship problems on the other, like trying to weigh puppies on a teeter-totter. No wonder we remain paralyzed. What makes this ambivalence so destructive is how it manifests in our daily lives. Mood swings about the relationship, denial of problems, obsessive analysis, or the exhausting cycle of breaking up and reconciling. We create emotional distance, communicate less meaningfully, and develop ritualistic interactions. In essence, we're having an intense affair with our own indecision while the actual relationship withers. What if we approached relationship decisions like doctors instead of lawyers? Rather than putting your partnership on trial, weighing every piece of evidence, consider making a diagnosis through carefully arranged questions. The first crucial question examines your foundation. When your relationship was at its best, was it genuinely good? Some people immediately recognize there was a wonderful time when they were truly happy and in love. Others realize their best times were never actually good. They were empty or painful at the core. Jennifer, a psychiatrist who spent 6 years in relationship ambivalence, had this revelation. She realized she and her husband were just a good-on-paper couple who never truly connected. You can often fix what was broken, but rarely fix what never worked in the first place. The satisfaction-producing core necessary for a relationship to flourish must have existed at some point. Physical safety forms the bedrock of any viable relationship. If there's been more than one incident of violence, research clearly shows the abuse will escalate. Your partner must commit to a program for abusive partners and maintain consistent participation for a full year. Without this commitment, the relationship is fundamentally unsafe. Sometimes our actions reveal decisions our minds haven't yet acknowledged. Have you made concrete commitments that exclude your partner? Ruth claimed ambivalence about her marriage while simultaneously training for a refugee organization that would take her abroad, away from her husband. She decided to leave 18 months before she could admit it to herself. Our behaviors often speak louder than our words, revealing the truth about what we really want. Even in seemingly dead relationships, vital energy may still flow beneath the surface. Do you and your partner share at least one pleasurable activity you both genuinely look forward to? Jack, feeling emotionally estranged from his wife Laura, discovered during therapy that their bi-weekly cooking sessions created a tension-free zone where they naturally connected. While preparing meals together, they fell into an easy rhythm, sharing stories, experimenting with recipes, occasionally breaking into spontaneous dance. This shared activity created genuine connection without forced conversation. Whether it's hiking, gardening, solving puzzles, or watching a favorite show together, even one reliable positive connection point can be transformative. The physical dimension provides another crucial diagnostic. Do both partners want to touch each other and look forward to touching each other? This includes elemental actions like kissing, hugging, stroking, any form of physical contact. When either person has stopped wanting to touch or be touched for several months without signs of improvement, they're making a profound statement about their alienation. Physical touch serves as a crucial bridge back from mutual shutdown, as spontaneous touching often helps couples find their way out of hurt and anger. Without this breaking mechanism against relationship crashes, couples remain trapped in negative patterns. There's an elemental precondition for love that can't be overlooked: basic compatibility. Do you find your partner fundamentally appealing? Are they reasonably nice, intelligent, not excessively neurotic, okay to look at, and do they smell all right to you? This isn't about meeting society's standards of perfection, just basic animal compatibility. Do you feel physically comfortable in their presence? A thoughtful, unmistakable no to these questions indicates a basic discord that likely means leaving is the right choice. Equally important is the power balance. Power in relationships often begins like a gentle tropical breeze that gradually becomes a hurricane. Rosemary's relationship with Vinny illustrates this perfectly. As a successful restaurant owner, Vinny was like a steamroller. When he wanted things to happen, they happened. Even after promising to change in therapy, he immediately reverted to controlling behavior, seemingly unable to let her win even once. "We just can't communicate" is a common complaint, but what truly damages relationships is off-the-table-itis, when someone consistently refuses to discuss certain topics. This condition destroys communication's bridge-building function by repeatedly taking important issues off the table. It can manifest directly, "I don't want to talk about that," through redirection, threats, emotional abuse, or even extreme politeness that indefinitely postpones discussion. Without the ability to give feedback, to say, "I like this, I don't like that, this hurts me," relationships suffocate. Equally destructive is chronic dishonesty. The critical question becomes, have you reached the point where, when your partner speaks, you usually believe they're lying? Living with someone you don't trust leads to bitterness, paranoia, and despair. Your world becomes nightmarish, and the only way to feel safe is to disconnect so profoundly that you've essentially ended the relationship anyway. Many people remain stuck because they're confused about whether they have the right to ask for change. When deciding if your partner's problems are too serious, consider, can they acknowledge their problem? Are they willing to change? Can you let go of being bothered by it? Are they able to change? Everyone has bottom lines, personal boundaries that, when crossed, signal the end of a relationship. Ignoring these creates psychological self-mutilation. When you don't act after a partner crosses an unacceptable boundary, you become a backdoor accomplice to their behavior. Bottom lines aren't something you arbitrarily decide. They're truths you discover about yourself through experience. The final test of relationship viability is deceptively simple. Do you feel willing to give your partner more than you're giving already without any expectation of being paid back? Real love delivers. It's not just what you feel or say you feel, but what you can give based on those feelings. In mutual shutdown, your capacity to give diminishes as your partner withdraws, until eventually you have nothing left, regardless of what you claim to feel. That's when love dies. Whether your relationship proves too good to leave or too bad to stay, finding your answer brings relief from the torment of indecision. And that clarity itself, regardless of the outcome, is the first step toward a happier life.